a very warm welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's big win over Queen's Park, preview this weekend's final home game of the season against East Fife, and we'll look forward to another season in League One. I'm Colin Byers, and with me once again is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are we this week?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Colin. Yourself?
I am absolutely full of the joys of spring, as you can see, as you can tell. Tell you the fine weather would change once the kids would be back to school again.
It was foggy on Saturday for a football, but yet we get to Monday and it's a beautiful afternoon.
That's it. So happens when the school bands go back. So yes, we are, as you could probably tell, a much sprightlier, happier, because as we know, League One football has been secured for next season. It was a bit tense towards the end, particularly in that last 10 minutes on Saturday, but we got there and we got the 3 points that we needed.
Yeah, I think Saturday, regardless of however performance was put in, it was the main thing was getting 3 points to secure League One football. And you know, credit to them, they've had a couple of sticky weeks and months, especially at the start of this year. But credit to them for you know, keeping their status in League One.
It was a really good 3 points. It was the 3 points that we really needed to secure it, and it now means that we've got two games where, I wouldn't say we could relax, because obviously there's still something to play for in terms of league positions, but it just makes it a little bit easier now that, you know, we're going into the last two games knowing that it's done and dusted, and we can sort of concentrate and start looking at next season.
Yeah, I think we've spoken off air a few times. You say one eye on the remaining fixture, and you didn't want to go away to Airdrie needing something in the game, especially the predicament that Airdrie's in. They might need something just to, you know, claim top spot. So yeah, thankfully it's all done and dusted. We can enjoy the last game at home. I think that's quite important as well. You didn't want to really go in against East Fife really needing something. Mm-hmm. So the fact it's all done with two games to go, yeah, credit to Jim and the boys.
And we'll also go into the game, but I think Grant Saylor, he was pretty much at the heart of everything that was good on Saturday, and he's played in a slightly different role, playing on the left wing, but you can just see his quality and his confidence and everything. It's just growing and growing in the last few weeks.
Yeah, he's a player. When he first came in, we thought there was bags of quality in there, and I think the Hill team took a dip for a wee while, and there's just certain players that are rising to the top now, and as you said, confidence plays a huge part, and I think Grant's one of them that's certainly benefiting from that. I run the team, playing a slightly different position, but he's benefited from it.
And Naya Payne, again, we could talk about this guy all day, but again, just leading that line again on Saturday, getting another assist, and just proving again just how much a worth he is to the team.
Yeah, I think he's one of them players that you certainly, you notice when he's not playing, and I certainly think we're a better team for it when he's in the squad. As you said, he chipped in with another assist on Saturday, and yeah, he's certainly a player that I think this year's vastly improved, definitely one of the players that I think is most improved throughout the squad. So yeah, he's had a good campaign, isn't he?
Andy McDonald and Si Ferry, they came back into the lineup then, so we reverted back to I think we were still playing the 4-1-4-1 previous weeks, but we had Simon sitting in that role, as we know, and we've talked about in weeks prior how good he is in that role, and I think the team certainly seems to have a bit more balance when he's in there.
Yeah, we've said numerous times that when Simon doesn't play, you notice a player of his quality when he's not in the squad, and I think it's coincident that we got back-to-back wins when Simon was in the team. I think that's crucial as well to note. I think it's, you know, the first time of the season you go back-to-back and he's in the squad, he's in the starting 11. You know, it's a youngish team as well, so I think players sort of realise that round about him, that his quality shines through.
Andy McDonald, as I said, he was back in as well and played left back again, and for me, I think this is maybe one of his better performances that he's had in recent weeks. I know he was singled out, so we'll say, for mistakes. We've mentioned it, I think other people have mentioned it on social media as well, maybe just dropping out the side and coming back, and again, it's maybe just helped him a little bit. But I certainly think, I think you'd mentioned it on Saturday, that he's maybe even a better left back than he is at centre half.
Yeah, I think obviously he's been under a bit of pressure at centre back lately, but I do think Saturday was one of his better performances. There maybe is an argument to say he's a better left back than he is centre back. I think communication wise, he seemed to, you know, speak well with the midfield, especially on Saturday. So I think maybe a left back is maybe an option to go doing the line for for Jim with him being there. I think centre-back, he looks a little bit wobbly. That we've seen that in recent weeks. But credit to him. He dropped out the score. He came back in. I thought he'd been a really good shift.
It's not neat to say that we don't think he's particularly bad at centre-half. But I just think that the combination of Jason and Sean Want, particularly in the last three or four games, has been that good. You can see the difference when Andy then moves in. I don't know if the balance is different or what, but certainly I think that if you're going to pick a partnership in the centre half, I just knew, I think Sean and Jason is the partnership.
I think the slight issue with Sean and Andy being at centre back is neither of them really give the impression that they're great communication wise. I think when you've got Jason there, he's command and he's pretty much our leader, and he will talk you through the way he wants to go with the game. And I think you've got Andy at left back and Jason at centre along with Sean. I think there's a better communication, better organisation, and I think the whole team benefit from it.
Okay, so we've mentioned a few times throughout the season is about the importance of the first goal. I think the importance of the first goal, no matter what time it was scored, I think was going to be huge. But it was really 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 important that I think we got the first goal. And certainly get inside the first 5 minutes, certainly it alleviated any nerves or any niggling sort of tensions that there might have been at that time.
Yeah, I think the longer the game would have gone at 0-0, you'd have felt that Queen's Park would have grown into it. Thankfully we got the early goal. I think we sort of caught them on the hop a little bit actually by scoring so early. I don't know whether Queen's expected us to actually take the game to them as much as what we did in the opening period. I think it did caught them off guard a little bit. But the guys got their just rewards with a good early goal.
Yeah, it was a good goal. As Savely was hugely involved in it down that left hand side, and it just seemed to beat his man so easily as well. Just a couple of touches and he was by him and picking out a cross which found Ryan Duncan coming in off the right hand side, and it was a really good composed finish by him.
You mentioned confidence a couple of minutes ago, and I think that's the difference between Grant now and maybe Grant 5-6 weeks ago. He had the confidence to take his man on, and as you said, he sort of left him after two or three touches. But before that, pass would have gone inside. And again, it's just a little bit too safe, a bit square. He took his man on, he beat him, and composed, as you said, cut back, quite easy just to flash it across goal. But he's managed to pick out Ryan Duncan, coming in for the wing again, looking really good, and you know, calmly slotted it home.
Yeah, that was it was his third goal of the season as well. And it just to show that how good we were going forward, even in that early stages. Scott Brown could have actually taken it as well had Ryan not been there. So there was obviously options there, plenty of guys getting forward, and I think probably just as well that Ryan did score, because maybe Scott would have something to say to him after.
Yeah, I think had Ryan they put it away, Scott would have had something to say, as you said. But again, it shows you we've got that attacking minded players. Like I go back to that a couple of weeks back, maybe that wouldn't have been the case, maybe playing it a wee bit too safe. I think they were maybe allowed the licence to go forward, take their men on, and like I said, I think they've got the just rewards of that, a nice early goal.
And Savory, throughout the first half, you know, he was supposed to be playing left wing, but he was left wing, he was right, he was through the centre, his movement was just all over the place, and the Queens didn't really know how to handle him.
They didn't ken who are. I don't think they were aware of which player should be picking him up, because you said he was over the attacking third, he was here, there and everywhere, and that, I think his confidence plays a huge part in it. I think the fact that he's gotten goals and assists the last couple of weeks, he's chipping in, he's got that confidence to go and play it as well. He's quite happy to take someone on the left foot, the right foot, and I think he's certainly got the skill and the ability to play at a higher level. I think it's just shining through now that he's got the confidence.
But his him being able to do that is backed up with the fact that he's got the three guys behind him, Ferry and Scott Brown and Andy McCarthy. They know that he knows that if he goes, you know, wandering here, there, and everywhere, one of those three will cover over that left hand side, and that just comes from that midfield three being disciplined and knowing. Are allowing the front three just to do what they want, kind of thing.
That's why I like the front three of Ryan Duncan, Nia Payne and Grant Savory. They seem to have that ability to move about the attacking third quite a lot. They interchange quite well. And as you said, the balance in the midfield three, you've also got Scott Brown that can run for deep, but you can that Simon Ferry's just going to sit there, control the game. And I think we've now got the balance in the team. It's maybe taken a while for it to to work out, but we finally got there.
And you mentioned Naya there as well, but again, his movement, I think, really, you know, the centre halves really didn't care whether to go with him or, you know, put him off to the full backs, the mark or what, because he's inside the channels, he comes deep, he goes in behind. It's just an all round movement. It really, if you're trying to mark him or defend him, it must be a right pain in the arse.
He must be a nightmare to try and defend against, because you said he'll come deep, he goes wide, you've got Savory coming off the wing, you've got Ryan Duncan on the other side. And that's why I think it sort of took Queens quite a while to really get their foothold in the game, because I don't think they expected, they maybe expected the formation, but I don't think they expected the interchanging that happened with the front three to work out as well as it did. But thankfully for us, it worked out well, and I think them guys up front really put in a good shift on Saturday.
Were you surprised that you didn't see anyone, Queens got to come into the game, having gone 1-0 down so early, you would expect there maybe a reaction for them? They just seemed to, I know they had quite a bit of the ball. I mean, it was another game, I think, where both sides had the ball, but without really, you know, making the opposite keepers work. So I just thought perhaps that with them maybe having already secured a playoff spot, that they maybe just thought, well, this is another sort of freebie game.
I think it was the sort of performance I sort of come to expect for Queens this season, if I'm being honest. I wasn't particularly impressed with their whole campaign, to be honest. Looking from an outsider's point of view, they've been a couple of wins here, a couple of defeats, and thrown in results that you wouldn't have really expected. To be honest, they wouldn't have been expecting to come up and lose to Peterhead. It was a sort of quite a passive performance. I think the game sort of got to half time before they really did anything. They were neither pressing, neither sitting back. It was sort of in-between performance. So I don't really think it was a performance that they'd have been happy with. I think the fact that we got the early goal sort of caught them on the hop, as I said. I think Queens, it was quite a passive 45 minutes, especially in the first half, if I'm being honest, and something that I'd sort of expected for them.
I mean, there was a note that Andy McDonald and Sean Mont both had sort of last-ditch tackles from I think it was Simon Murray, but it was with them both. So I mean, it wasn't a case that they weren't attacking it as much, but it was just the fact that whatever they were doing, we seemed to be able to cover it.
Yeah, they put in a couple of attacks, but I just think their overall performance, I think probably a lack of tempo, and I expect a Queen's Park team, I mean, we've seen them a few times play against us, and it's normally quite a high tempo affair that they go when they sort of catch you on the break, but didn't really get that. As you said, the fact that they've maybe secured a play, well, they have secured a playoff play, sort of maybe come into their thinking. But they, again, whilst getting that one goal lead, we're trying to hold on for, we'd sign more at stake rather than them. I think the last ditch tackle sort of come into it, but I think Queens, yeah, they were a wee bit passive for my liking.
And it's also a case that the defence is looking solid. That back four, it seems to be more solid, as solid as it has been all season. Or there's been various combinations all throughout the season, but this back four, although still relatively young in terms of age, but most all three of the four have all played more than 100 games, so I think that maybe tells you something as well.
Yeah, well, we said at the game a couple of weeks back that we'll look a lot more solid new with Jason coming back for his injury and partner up with Want as well. I think they've sort of now developed an understanding, having played quite a few games together, and they look really solid, to be honest. I think Rico Katongo praised him on Saturday to you, although not a natural right back, I think he's done really well. Mm-hmm. Probably out of the players that have played at right back this season, it's now natural. I think he's probably been the best team, really solid. So yeah, I think the defence has sort of tightened up, come together. There was a while every time somebody took a shot against us, it seemed to go in, and we just weren't getting the luck and the breaks. But no, 10 points out of our last 12, I think it's a very, very good return.
Second goal early in the second half, which I think probably, you know, even with half an hour, 35 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever it was, pretty much killed the game. And this goal, I think, epitomises what we've been saying about Naya in terms of his just ability just to run with the ball. He's picked it up, 20, 30 yards inside the Queen's half, and he's taken on and beaten three defenders, got to the byline. And we've seen that a few times, actually, this season, and it's most notably was the Dundee game. where he gets to the byline. In fact, I think he was at a corner flag at the Dundee game, but still managing to get across in. And that it sounds so basic, but that's what you're looking for, just to get crosses into the box, and that's how you'll score goals.
Yeah, there's something to be said for a person that can pick up the ball and run 30, 40 yards. It's something we probably don't see often enough for him, if I'm being brutally honest, because he's definitely got in his locker. You just try and produce it more often. He's in everything you expect from him. He's picked up, he's run from deep. He's got the awareness to try and get it in the box, but he's managed to pick somebody out.
Yeah.
I think that's crucial as well. He isn't just lumped into the box hoping for the best. He's actually managed to pick somebody out. And obviously he's running in, so yeah, a really good performance.
And it was a good finish again for Savory, because he's actually taken a touch and then hot it on the spin, which just makes it even more difficult. I mean, if he tries to take it first time, likelihood is the defenders, but it's going to block it. So it's good awareness from Grant again.
I think that's his quality, is it, shining through. He's got that in his locker. Well, admit, I thought when the ball came in he was going to hit first time, but he's got that, as you said, awareness run about him. He realises defender's there. He's now got to be the goalkeeper for that angle as well. He stopped it with the right foot turn and put it in with the left. And like you, I think even with the best part of half an hour in the game to go, I think at 2-0 we didn't really look like we were going to struggle from that point.
So it's 3-3 from for him now, 5 in total. So it's again something from somebody who's we think is going to play a majority of the time in midfield, or is seen as a midfielder. To get into the box and have the composure and finishing like that is only going to bode well for next season.
Yeah, you're needing players that obviously can't just rely on strikers to score goals. Now that he's chipped in with five, obviously Scott Brown normally chips in with a few. So you're looking for your midfield also to chip in if you're only playing one up top. Your winger's cutting in as well. So I think he'll be satisfied. Obviously he's got 5 goals for the season. There's still 2 games to go. He'll maybe think he should maybe have scored a couple more. He certainly had the opportunities. But again, if that's something he's going to add to his game for next season, you know, it'll be another good season for him.
Are we at the stage? I know that we've only got 2 games left, but considering what we've been through this season, but are we at the stage now where if we get a lead, particularly like an early goal, things like that, we're more likely to then see the game out, whereas previously, okay, we might get a goal, but the opposition's likely to score 2 or 3.
I think a combination of 2 things. I think number one is confidence. We've said that before, that the confidence in football is massive. Once you start to go on a run, you develop confidence through the team. And I think the back four, or particularly you know Jason and Sean at the back, I think they've now developed a partnership that's really good. They've got a really good understanding. Simon Ferry coming into that sort of trio at the back as well. I think the combination of both makes us we've got a solid foundation to build on.
The reason I ask that is because Ozzie Queen's then going to score on 63 minutes. So still, 30, 35 minutes still to go. And they scored a goal, but after that, they didn't really sort of seem to do anything. We still seem to be in control of the game.
I think they're up until that point, they'd scored. Also, you mentioned they had a couple of efforts in the first half, but I wasn't really impressed with them, if I'm being honest. I never got that feeling that they were likely to do anything in the game. I thought the fact that obviously we're still winning, we were playing some good football, we're attacking, our wing play was good, with runners from deep. Even though they got a goal back, I never really felt that we were under too much pressure, to be honest.
It was their first real opportunity, yeah. I think. And again, Brett's going to leave this game without making a save, and that's the annoying thing for him. There was a suspicion of offside with it. It does look tight. I think we said during the game, or at the game, it probably was offside. Having seen it back, it maybe is much tighter than we initially thought.
Okay, I haven't seen it back. I mean, on the Saturday, I was quite insistent that it was offside. That's maybe with blue tinted glasses on. But initially I thought he was just a couple of fractions offside, but. Hey, the linesman's got a better angle than us on Saturday, so I'll take his word for that.
It was foggy at that end. So the only thing maybe it's going against us slightly is the fact that I think it's McCarthy that's going in to block the cross. He's slidden in and it's going by him. So by the time he's actually hit it, he's in line with Murray, or Murray slightly behind. So whereas we're all looking maybe at the centre-halves, he's ahead of them, but he's slightly in a line or slightly behind. That's maybe the thinking. I don't know. But it's one of those decisions that it could probably go either way. But in the end, it didn't affect the result.
No, I think if that had happened a month ago, I think Hedge would have dropped. You'd have sat deeper and deeper. You'd have probably come out with maybe a point, maybe even lost the game. But as I said, wasn't it that overly impressed with Queens on Saturday? But I put that down to how good a performance we put in. Got to remember they're a full-time team. So, you know, you factor that in as well. I thought it was a good performance, even from when they scored to go 2-1 behind. Yeah, I never really felt that we were going to be under too much pressure, to be honest.
And with sort of 25 still to go, you could sense maybe the tension was just starting to build, because obviously we were keeping an eye on what was happening. But again, we can repeat what we're saying. Although Queens had more of the ball, they weren't really making Brett work at all.
No, I think the tension started to build when we seen that Dumbarton had got an equaliser against Airdrie. There was a few murmurings that had happened. You could just sense the tension in the crowd a little bit, but I didn't really think Queens offered that much in the game to suggest that they would come back into it. But at the same time, I thought we defended pretty well, quite resolute.
Longstaff got a booking for simulation, I should say. I don't think there was much debate with that, even though we were at the opposite side and furthest away you could possibly get. The referee was pretty spot on with it. And when you're starting to see things like that, I think that's a sign of desperation from the player.
Yeah, I think the referees are almost 100% that they're right before they book a player for simulation. It's quite an allegation to say you've basically tried to cheat to win a penalty. But yeah. Referees, you came from their booking players for diving that they're almost 100% certain. And as you said, it's a little bit of desperation setting in that they're looking for something that's not quite there. And yeah, I think a referee on that occasion was quite right.
With 12 minutes to go then, the second more contentious decision was to send Jason Brown off. And it was contentious at the time, and I probably still think it is. It was for two yellows. There was a bit of confusion as to why he was sent off. Some thought it was maybe a straight red. It was a second yellow. His first one was back in the 52nd minute. It was a really soft one when you see it back again. It's another one of those tackles that, you know, if it had been earlier in the game, he probably would have gotten away with just a foul. It probably was Jason's first one as well, which makes it even harder to take. But having given him a yellow for that one, the second one's even more contentious.
I think if a referee, if I'm praising him for being right with the Longstaff one, I think he's, on the flip side, I think he's got this one wrong. Mm-hmm. And the reason I think that is because I think he's got the best view on the pitch. He's not too close, he's not far enough away. He's looking right at it, and even sometimes your judgment can be clouded by the still images, but even when you watch it back and then you see the still images, I'm not even sure it's a foul, to be honest, never mind a yellow card, if I'm being honest.
I think what was more surprising was the fact that I don't think there was many Queens players actually claiming for anything, but it was interesting that if I look back at it, Simon Murray had gone down 2 or 3 minutes before, virtually doing the same thing. He went up for a header with Jason and went down. He didn't get anything and just jumped back up again. And then 2 or 3 minutes later, they've both gone up for a header. And as you can see with the stills that we've put on, and his hands are above his head. His elbows are above his head. So there's no way that you could say he's intentionally swung an elbow at it.
No, I don't think it's a foul, to be honest. Simon Murray's an experienced player, and he's probably aware that Jason has got, you know, in previous season he would retaliate to certain things. He's maybe trying to wind Jason up to get something out of him, to get a red card. I mean, he's got it, but I don't think it's right. I think I don't think it's a foul, if I'm being honest, never mind a second yellow. As you said, his arms are above, he looks, it's a clean header. I think on that occasion a referee is wrong.
He's got his elbows up, his hands is up, but everybody does that because they use that for to get the elevation, to get the jump, and it's just a natural thing to do.
I don't know any player that can jump without really using their hands as elevation. It's one of them things, but you know the still image on the Twitter account as well, you know that the referee's got a really good view, and like I said, he's not too far away from it, but he's not too close that he's too involved. He doesn't appear to be obstructed, so I'm surprised that he has given it. Especially knowing that Jason's on a yellow. Even if he did think it was a foul, it's probably one of them you'd say quit it. But surprise arrived, he's given.
He was really quick to make the decision as well. I mean, Jason just virtually landed on his feet, and the yellow card and the red card was out. So that's why I'm bringing up the previous one, was to think, well, maybe it was in the back of his mind. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate slightly here, but his decision for me was a little bit too quick.
Yeah, as you said, I mean, it happened pretty quick. I am surprised. I thought the referee had a reasonable performance, to be honest, up until that moment. He'd gotten most of the key decisions right, but on that one, I still think he's wrong.
I think, I was going to say, I think overall, he's had a really good game. I mean, the standard of the referee this season hasn't been that great, but he seems to have been the better one. Wasn't afraid to make the decisions, as you said, but I think in terms of the two yellow cards, I think that was the only blotch on his card.
Yeah, I think he had a good performance, to be fair. It's just that incident. I mean, obviously the yellow card that he got earlier on in the game as well, as you said, it being in the first half, it's probably just a foul. But for both of it, if you look at both the incidents, for them both to be deemed a yellow card, for some of the things that we've seen this season as well, again, we're going about continuity and consistency. I think Jason counts himself really unfortunate to be sent off for that.
I think Jason still got a hole in his leg for a game earlier on. He didn't even get a foul for that.
And the annoying thing is, with it being two yellows, there's no appeal process for it. So, I mean, he's going to be suspended.
So, moving into the final 10 minutes. So, we're 2-1 up. We're down to 10 men. We know that Dumbarton have come back from 2-0 down against Airdrie. So, yeah, the tension really started to ramp up slightly there, because we know, and we said it on Saturday, that a goal for Queens or a goal for Dumbarton completely changes the context of the games.
Yeah, it's one of them. The way our season's gone, you could just anticipate a Queens goal potentially coming in Dumbarton, nicking a winner against 10-man Airdrie as well. So, yeah, the tension started to ramp up a bit, but I think the fact that Queens started to then put a little bit of pressure on us, all the focus was on our game, and yeah, credit to the boys, held it quite easy to defend deeper and deeper, but they didn't.
Yeah, and eventually, I mean, I think the early in Dumbarton game was slightly ahead of us, so we always knew that what was happening there was we were going to finish after them, but then Airdrie did get that late. Late equaliser, not only to help us secure League One, but obviously then to stop Kofi winning the league for another week, I would think. But once that goal went in, you could just feel it, everything just sort of lifted, and everybody was like, right, okay, let's see the last couple of minutes out.
I think the fact it sort of played into hands that Airdrie needed to win the game. They've still got a very faint hope of winning the title. Mm-hmm. Had they nothing to play for, they might have been quite happy with a point and settled for it against Dumbarton, which wouldn't really have helped us. So yeah, the fact that Airdrie needed to really win the game, I think played into our hands. But taking that away from your guys, a great 2-1 win at home.
And it was a huge relief in the end once the full time whistle went, and I think probably one of the biggest cheers we've had at Bombo this season.
Yeah, I definitely. I think the fact that it was enough to secure status in League One, I think it was more relief than anything. It's been a tough campaign. The guys have come under some criticism. I think a lot of it has been justified. I think there has been a little bit of unrest over the last couple of months, but credit where it's due. A good performance, a good result, and obviously maintain our status.
So as you said, the League One status has been secured for a fourth season, which is the first time we've done that since 2008-2009. So it just shows you how significant an achievement that actually is.
Yeah, I think with everything that's gone on in the last couple of years, I think maintaining the status was probably the minimum expectation this season. But I would like to see us go and then kick on for future seasons. I don't want us to become a club that's just happy, biting the
buck.
Yeah. I think some people are quite happy that we're just staying in the division. I would like us now that, okay, we're now safe, let's start building on next season. How can we improve? Where do we need improvements? And then build as a club going forward, rather than just thinking, right, okay, we survived this season, let's try and survive next season. Because inevitably, you will fail one season, you'll go back down. You need to then try and improve. I think that's got to be the objective for the management and the board next season.
I think it's easy to sort of see how you're progressing. First season we finished 8th, finished 7th last season. Obviously those those two seasons are really they're really different seasons to a normal season. So if we can finish eighth or even catch up on Clyde and Allen, which we'll come on to, and finish maybe sixth or seventh, that just shows you that that gives you an indication of where you're going. So every season you want to see that a little bit more, effort, but progression. So it's either progression in terms of the points you're winning or your place in the league. So that's the point where you need to be, I think.
Where the Jim's trying to get what appears to be, he's trying to get a brand of football in a young team. And we spoke about this over the last couple of years, the change in the average age of the squad, and it's come down. And you can see what he's trying to do. So if he can bring in players to suit that system, then I think it'll be fine. But we've got to see, for me, I've got to see where the club's going. And at the moment, I just think sometimes we're nae as consistent as I would like. I know that because you've got a young team. You want to get maintain consistency level with a young team. But there's got to be some sort of progression, because we did it last season. We put three or four wins together, got ourselves safe. We've done it again this season. You can't rely every season on just getting to the last six, seven games and then putting a run together. Mm-hmm. Like I said, one season it's going to happen. You need to... Montrose, they're slightly different, but to me they're the benchmark. They've come up roughly the same time as us. You can see they're progressing and they're looking for playoffs. And they've kind of been in a relegation battle the whole season. They've never really worried about the bottom half of the table. That's the next level I think we should be aiming for and trying to... get somewhere where you're in mid-table, but you're not really worried about the teams below you.
It's interesting if you're saying he's changing the brand and the brand of football with a young team. That's all well and good, and it works if we stayed up, which we have. Had it failed, you'd be looking at, and you'd be probably questioning why he was changing things and X, Y, and Z. So the fact that he's gone with it, he's stuck with it, he's been pretty resolute with it, which I think is the right thing to do, because I think we needed to move away from these 32, 33, 34-year-olds that have played maybe top end much of their career and then maybe just looking for the one last payday or just an avenue into coaching or something like that. That needed to be moved away. We're now looking at these young guys who have, like Sir Grant Sayre, for example, who've been released for Celtic, and we're giving them an opportunity. And if it'll happen with that is, he'll obviously do well and then he'll move on to a bigger club, which I'm fine with.
Yeah, I've always been happy with the notion of, you get a player in a free transfer, he has two good seasons, he will then move on, the club make a little bit of money, everybody wins. Players doing well, club get money out of it. Evidently, if the players are playing well, you've had a good season. Mm-hmm. Like you said, there had to be a time when it changed. It's bold to do it right after a pandemic where things are pretty much, you need to stay up to survive as a club. Yeah. But the club has run pretty well, so even if we did get doing, but we've stayed up with a young team. There has been times where it hasn't looked that pretty and that good results-wise, but you could see the style of football he was wanting. That's why I think it's important now that he's got his brand of football. He has a rough idea of the formations that he wants to play, and he brings in players to suit it, rather than thinking, you're a good player, I'll take you in, but then you're sort of trying to shoehorn players into a team that doesn't really work. Mm-hmm. So I think if he's got the brand and he's got the formation that he likes, then go with it for next season. Use the players that he takes in. You've mentioned before, it's quite a high number of players that he's used this season. That's why at times I don't think he's kind of his best team. He's been tinkering a wee bit too much. But there's maybe a reason to say, well, we've got it right now, but it's how do we progress for next season? Because I don't want us to be a team that's just happy being, Biden 8th and above.
So with two games left, as I said earlier, we are a point behind Alloa and Clyde. There is a possibility that we could finish 6th or 7th, and that overall, having the tough season that we've been through, and the worries of looking below us and looking back over our shoulder, we're now looking ahead, and actually, as I said, we have a chance now to finish 6th or 7th.
Yeah, I think it would be a good season overall, but I can I take away for the fact that within numerous episodes this season where it has been poor performances we've been speaking about. Now, obviously you said there's a chance of finishing, you know, potentially like above Clyde. They've been in a horrendous run since January, so they're in a similar sort of situation where they just need a couple of wins to be safe. But I think overall, if you were to look at the season just as black and white, and if we potentially finish sixth, I think it would be a good season.
Would you say then if we did finish sixth, it would maybe slightly mask the season as a whole, where people would look at it and say, "Well, Peter finished sixth, that's a decent season for them." But actually, having finished sixth, maybe in a funny way, makes it worse because there are so many points that we've left. And we haven't picked up, whereas we know with this team, with this players, we could have actually been pushing higher.
Yeah, for me, I think you're 100% bang on. I think it would slightly mask the season with it. I mean, I just need to say that the players have done well, because they have. Staying up in the division, considering the run that we were on, especially January, February and into March, you know, really, really bad run. But, you know, the East 5 games this season, when I've been particularly good, throwing away points against Clyde, that's the sort of things that next season you want to see. Obviously, you can't be against East Fife, but that's the sort of games you're wanting to see the improvement on. You go 2-0 up against what you'd call a team of your sort of level, you need to be seeing that game out. Mm-hmm. Or you need to be going getting a third and killing the game off. And it's just a lot of things like that, I think, have maybe been the hampering of our season. But, you know, the be-all and end-all is you stay in the league, it's a good season.
Or they conceded early as well, was something that we've picked up a few times as well. But so the last two games then, if we look at the Clyde and Alloa, Alloa are at Falkirk, Clyde are at home to Airdrie next week, we're obviously at home to East Fife. So you look at that and think, well, there's a huge opportunity for us to go above them, because we perceive to have the easier of the two ties. But then you look at the final day's fixtures. Alloa, they're at home to Montrose, Clyde are at Dumbarton, and we're at Airdrie. Airdrie might still have an outside chance of winning the league, as slim as that may be, but it will be close. But I think even finishing above one of those two would be good.
I think you factored in with results against these five this season as well. They have not been good. They've been pretty poor, to be fair, considering these five are at the bottom of the table. I think they've got, you know, a fair few points off of us. So again, that's maybe something that the players can have in the back of their head as well. Well, you know, we're safe now, but we want to make sure we get a win over East Fife, because pretty much everybody else in the league has done it bar us. But yeah, I think, you know, if you finish above one of them teams, like I said, even if we finish sixth, I think it'll be a good season. Players have done well. You just want to see that little bit more consistency. But then there'll be another year under their belt as a team. Mm-hmm. Depending on which players come back next season.
So staying up was obviously, I think, the club's target. Maybe not necessarily the fans, or maybe not necessarily our target, but we've achieved that. Next season was we doing, I can officially who's going to be there, but it's looking likely that Queen of the South is going to come down. Kettley obviously up, so that's another two teams that you would think are going to be in the mix top half playoff places again. So realistically, at this point, not knowing obviously who's staying and who's not going to be there next season, should we just be again targeting staying in the league, or can we realistically look for a playoff spot?
I think you kind of just go into the division expecting just to stay in the league, or that being your target. I mean, obviously it's a target of every club to start with. Let's make sure you're in the league. But I think, like I said, if you hate any aspirations of going forward as a club, you've got to be looking at how can you improve. Now, as you said, Kelty are going to come up. I don't think they're going to be running about the bottom end of the table. Obviously, Queen of the South as well coming down, I think, as you said. But then there's teams like in the division, Falkirk. They've had a really poor season. What I mean, fits to say they're going to be any better. Could we try and, you know, improve on them? Mm-hmm. Alloa, Clyde. That's kind of, you're trying to be better on that teams. And I certainly think that, obviously, Jim's got a brand of football he's trying to play. He's gotten the rights, he's trying to get a team to play in that system. I think he's generally got to be looking at, right, okay, if we finish 8th, 7th, right, how can we finish 6th or 5th? And just say, we spoke about it, what was it, about October time, with slight aspirations of, well, you know, playoff for promotion-wise, and then our season just sort of collapsed. Mm. But that's the sort of thing I personally think we should be looking at. Mm-hmm. You know, how can we improve rather than just basically every season hoping to stay in the division? Because like I said, at one point it's not going to happen, and then you didn't have the foundation to then build as a club because you're back in League Two.
And Jim always says is obviously if you get 9 to 10 points each quarter, then that should be enough to survive. We're on 39 at the moment, whatever it is. We still have 2 games to go, so I mean that's obviously going to exceed his target. So then you're looking at maybe saying, well, instead of going for 9 to 10 points per quarter, we should be looking at 12 to 13, and just see where that goes.
Yeah, I mean, I know the remit at the start of the season for most of the clubs in the division would be like, make sure you maintain your status. As you said, Jim likes to look at 9-10, so let's look at try and get 13-14. Where can you get that extra win from? And I harp on about East Fife results. We've got Clyde as well. We threw away a lead. You factor that in, then you're comfortably sitting, you know, fifth place, and you're not really worried about relegation. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of things that you need to try and then turn in our favour. They conceding early goals, being resolute in defence. And I can't, it's easy to sit here and say it, but the reason I'm saying it is because I think we've got players in the squad that are capable of it. They sit, like, so we've seen the format of Grant Savory in recent weeks. You're looking for that in a mere prolonged period and a mere consistent basis. And I certainly think it's something we should be having aspirations of.
And something else that Jim likes to say, or is one of the things he likes to do, is to make sure that he knows which league his team's going to be playing in before starting to offer contracts and things. And you look at the squad at the minute, there's 17 players out of contract, 5 loan players will go back to their parent clubs as well. So at the minute, we've only got 5 it's signed up for next season. So this is something that we'll probably cover in the next few weeks once the season's finished. But out of those sort of 17, it's there is a number that you would like to still have for next season.
Yeah, I think he, like I said, he's trying to build a team, and there's players on that, certainly that list, I would think should be, you know, he should be in conversations this week, because you want to try and get something done before the end of the season, because mm-hmm. they're free to talk to other clubs. But there is quite a few players on that list that I think should be tied in for next season, and hopefully they stick around.
The 5 that are definitely signed up for next season is Jack Brown, Jason Brown, Grant Savory, David Wilson, and Hamish Ritchie. So the ironic thing about that is Jason Brown's the oldest one out the lot, yeah. And he's still only 24-25. So it's a young team. It's been unfortunate for David Wilson, I guess, because his injury ruled him out for the rest of the season. But there is a basis there where you're actually excited about those 5 still being there.
Yeah, it's a good age as well. You said Jason's the oldest one on the list. So again, it's gotten away for them players that are in the over 30 bracket. We've now got a player that are signed up for next season already that are under the age of 25, and that can only be a good thing for the club going forward.
We're not ruling out anybody over 30, we're not even ages now, but I still think there is maybe a market for one or two. But as I said earlier, I think years gone by we've had a team full of over 30s, and it's something we're obviously not going to get now. But it should be an interesting and busy summer anyway.
Yeah, I think there'll be a fair few ins and outs over the next, you know, month or so before you get into the cup competition. But I think if Jim can get his business done nice and early and get the players in for pre-season, then I think we should, you know, based on just the 5 players that we came are definitely here for next season, or would like, or are tied in contract for next season, that's players that excite me for next season. But again, it's just about that progression.
Okay, so final game, or final home game of the season, then, is Saturday against East Fife. As you mentioned there, it's a team we've really struggled against this season. Ironically, the team that's finished bottom. I think that just kind of sums up the our season, really. We can beat the likes of Falkirk, Queen's Park, but you know, East Fife we struggled against. 2 draws and 1 loss in the league, only 1 goal scored. And then there was also the 1-0 loss in the League Challenge Cup as well. So there's an opportunity here to try and rectify that and try and at least finish the home season with a victory.
A lot of people think it's sort of like a free hit, but in the back of my head I'm thinking that I want a little bit of revenge, because they're the poorest team in the league. When I beat them, and they put us out of the cup competition as well. So mm-hmm. in the back of my mind as a player, I'm thinking, why are we the team that can't beat the worst team in the division? So I would like to see a strong team, good performance, and start as like we did against Queen's Park, on the front foot. better confidence in the squad, and obviously with 10 points for our last 12, so certainly a game I think we should be winning.
Yeah, and if you think back to the 1-1 draw up here, it took a late Ryan Duncan goal to even secure a point in that game, and even then at that kind of time we're saying that wasn't good enough, and you know, we've gone down there in August and got beat 3-0, then doing there 0-0, so we really have now been at our best against them, and obviously there are teams in a season or a couple of seasons where you just want to get any results against, but as I said earlier, I think this is a huge opportunity to rectify that and kill off any demons it's been hanging around.
Well, a bit of our bogey side this season have been a pain to play against, but the fact that East Fife are now down or relegated, the fact that we're now safe, I think we should be going out and, you know, all guns blazing sort of thing. With nothing really to lose, okay, you can lose the game, but I think we've got a point to prove, because as I said, we ain't have beaten them this season, and that's you know, you factor in maybe two wins of that, you're looking up. It's all ifs and buts, but that's the sort of thing, if you're wanting to progress, that's the sort of teams around about you, you've got to be beaten. And I think we should be doing that on Saturday, to be honest.
And we're saying that East Fife's relegated, but a lot of these guys will be playing for their futures as well.
Mm-hmm.
They've got two games to try and impress their manager for a contract for next season, whether it's at East Fife or whether it's at another club. So it maybe just going to be as straightforward as maybe some people would think.
No, they've also got something to play for in terms of their like personal pride and, you know, where their future lies for next season. But I think if we're wanting to end the season strong, because I mean, I kind of see us getting nothing against Airdrie the week after. Mm-hmm. So to me, that, you know, whilst obviously we've got two games, I guess is our last really winnable game. The fact that we're not beating them this season as well, the fact that we put us out the cup, I think there should be in the back of the players' mind, to me, there should be a little bit of revenge wanting to try to rectify a few wrongs. And we should be getting there. Not expecting to win the game, but certainly we should be putting a performance to win the game.
And it wasn't that long ago, I mean, we mentioned a few weeks ago how they were chipped away, the gap that we had at one point, it was 12 points, I think, that they chipped away to week 6. So they had that spell around about sort of February, March. They had, they'd only one loss in 7, and suddenly they were back into it. But since then, they've lost 5 in a row, and that's really sort of killed them off. 4 draws as well in that 7 where they had 3-0-0. So,
yeah, they've struggled to score.
You can tell where why they're at the bottom.
Yeah, they've struggled to score goals. I think that's their main thing. You know, every team in the division is looking for that goal scorer to come in and just sort of change their fortunes. And it's just unfortunate for them that it's Stevie Yank came in December, and it's just been a little bit too late for them. I generally thought that when he came in, they would start, you know, scoring a few more goals, but it hasn't improved that way.
So from our point of view then, obviously Jason Brown's going to be suspended, so it would look as though that the back four that finished against Queen's Park would be the back four that would start this one, with Flynn Duffy coming in at left back.
Yeah, just moving Andy inside, and then again you'll hear another new look back four. But I think that defence, it should be good enough to, you know, deal with anything that East Fife throw at us, to be honest.
No other real changes. You would think that the rest, the midfield three and the front three would be the same, unless Rusty's available. That might be the only change.
Yeah, even then, I think it would be hard to leave any of the Grant Savory, Ryan Duncan or Naya Payne out of the squad, to drop them on the bench. I think he's got to go with, as you said, the team that ended the game with Flynn at left back, Andy at centre back, and then the rest of the guys, I think that would be the team we start on Saturday.
It's, as I've said, there is still something to play for in terms of league position, so you might as well try and play your strongest team.
Yeah, I don't think changing the team two games before the end of the season's, I don't think he's got to learn anything new by trying something different. So try and end the season best you can, try and finish sixth place, and you know, get a win against, like I said, a bogey side of ours.
Is there an argument that maybe some of the fringe players, because it is the last home game of the season, some of the fringe players that haven't been playing, like say Jordan or Gary Fraser, Alan Cook, Ryan Corroy, these kind of guys that have maybe been within a shout, really, of the team, but because it's the last home game, might be an opportunity for them to stick a claim for a contract for next season. He might have that in his thoughts.
Potentially, but I would also think if he's relying on one 90-minute performance to decide whether to get a contract for next season, then there's something going wrong somewhere along the line. I think if he's considering keeping somebody for next season, but he's got a question mark over fitness, then yeah, potentially, mm-hmm. if he's trying to set down the market or somebody by going putting a performance, I think just giving him one game isn't quite the answer either. But by now, I think Jim would have a rough idea of who he's going to keep, and I don't think one 90-minute performance against a relegated team would really change his mind, to be honest.
Is there an argument that if he's not going to do it now, he's not going to do it in the early game either?
Yeah,
particularly if they've got something to play for.
Yeah, I think he's not going to change his mind if he's going to offer them a contract. He will. If he's not, even if they played 290 minutes, I think they would change his mind. But I think it will be a slimmer squad he's got next season, because as you mentioned, just you rattled off four names there. These are players that are good players, but they haven't been really anywhere near the first team the whole season for one reason or another. But I think he'd already have an idea of who he wants from the current squad next season.
I mean, the chances are, I've mentioned four names there, at least maybe two of them might not be there next season.
Yeah.
Whatever two it might be. So it'd be nice just to kind of, see them on the pitch for one last time, if you like. If we're 5-0 up at half time or something like that, he might be then bring them on or something like that. But it's because there's so many of them that's out of contract, the likelihood he's not going to keep them all.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think we'll have a rough idea on Saturday by the team whether I think if there's a player that has been on the fringes is playing on Saturday, I think it would almost be a sure sign that they're not going to be there next season, rather than it's a player who's going to give you a good 90 minutes and earn a new contract. Mm-hmm. I think it would be the opposite way around, that if they're playing, you're more likely than not going to see them. So I think his team selection on Saturday will give us an idea of who might be here next season, who might be unfortunately leaving.
So hopefully on Saturday then we end on a positive, and we can actually go to the game and just relax and enjoy it for a change, because it's been a while because of the way things have been going the last 3 or 4 months. It has been, as I said, it was quite tense and set on Saturday, so it'd be nice to just to go there, end the home season with a nice good victory, and just enjoy, hopefully the sun continues as well.
Yeah, it was a decent crowd. It was actually there on Saturday. Was it 600 and something?
615.
Yeah, so a decent crowd. Last home game of the season, we are safe. But nice to see a few people turn up. And as you said, it'll be a lot more relaxed. I think tension has been building the last couple of weeks, but the fact that we've been getting the right results has sort of helped. But it would be good to finish the home season with a win.
Absolutely, that's what we're looking for. So on that note then, that will end it for this week. We do hope you've enjoyed it once again. As always, my thanks goes to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week. So until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.